I'm Scott Stuntz, and this is Emphasis. Today's guests are Professors Joel Groover and Bart Gill of Western Illinois University. Dr. Groover specializes in sustainable ag, while Dr. Gill's expertise lies more in conventional ag practices. We discussed how agriculture as a whole has done in reaching out to the public. I started by asking both professors if most people have a good understanding of what modern agriculture really entails. Dr. Gill answered first.
Most people, the general public, lacks a little bit of the background information when it comes to modern agriculture and what happens within the agriculture industry. They are well informed of sometimes the wrong information. And so, you know, when it comes to talking to the general public, we have to kind of make sure that we understand where they're coming from, where their information that they do currently have in their repertoire come from, and then hopefully make sure that we let them know about the true facts about agriculture.
Would you agree with that, that maybe there is knowledge on specific issues, but maybe some misinformation on other specific issues?
Well, there are sound bites, there are New York Times bestseller books, but the humanity of agriculture is not something that most American consumers have any connection to, because they are just simply multiple generations removed from having farmers in their family, or, you know, personally having, you know, having farming activities in their own life. So when you don't have the personal connection, then you don't think of farmers as your friends, as your neighbors, as your family members. And so you see them in a detached, more industrial way. You see farmers as manufacturing food or manufacturing the ingredients for food in the same way that you see other manufacturing industries. And you may have some romantic notion of what things used to be like, but the connection that used to be there when people had, you know, farmers in their families is largely gone from most of society.
Dr. Gill, go ahead.
And I would agree with Dr. Groover on that there is a big disconnect there. And, you know, as he was talking about the romantic side of, you know, the relationship between where the food comes from and what the consumer is actually purchasing. And, you know, with that, you end up having a lot of people out there that, you know, just like if you go out and, you know, I don't have a very strong knowledge in radio for, you know, as a matter of fact there. And so for me to go in and try to talk about the radio industry and try to talk about where the problems are in the radio industry and try to make policy on the radio industry, that's the problems we're looking at in agriculture right now, is that the policies that are being proposed and the things that are being, you know, said about the agriculture industry outside of the farmers and producers, you know, are coming from folks that just don't have a real strong connection with the agriculture industry itself. And that tends to be a big problem. And that's kind of where we're at right now when it comes to a lot of issues. And so that is definitely one of the big issues that we have in the agriculture industry right now, is that disconnect, because it's affecting more than just the image of agriculture. It gets down to affecting the actual fiscal side and the financial status of the agriculture industry.
One of the key concerns I have about some of the groups that are actively engaged in ag advocacy is that they state that they are welcoming all participants, all stakeholders to the table. And when you read their statements, you see an emphasis on inclusivity. But then on the same websites, you see lists of anti-agriculture groups. And some of those groups I look at and say, I understand, you know, how they got on that list, because they may be completely against any animal agriculture. But other groups, like the Sierra Club — the Sierra Club is the largest, most mainstream environmental organization in the United States, over 4 million members. And I am concerned when I see them listed as an anti-agriculture group, or groups that are advocating for specific types of alternative agriculture. A group that's promoting organic agriculture is not anti-agriculture. You know, they may benefit economically from trying to differentiate the quality of their food products from other types of production. And so, you know, there may be some agendas there. But I think we need to be careful calling groups anti-agriculture, and I think there's a little, maybe a little too much of that going on right now.
Now, is a certain amount of that because some, and just for lack of better terminology, industrial ag groups are afraid that public opinion will turn against sort of modern industrial or traditional agriculture if people embrace those alternative forms? Are they worried about a shift in public opinion? Is that maybe why they are putting in place those divisions that you spoke of?
Well, I think there is an active response by mainstream agriculture groups because there has been a shift of opinion that is, you know, potentially growing into a tidal wave. I think that's, you know, that's what the groups are concerned about. And I think the quality of the information that is being presented, you know, I've been impressed with some of the resource lists that I've found on some of these mainstream agriculture advocacy websites. And at the same time, I've been concerned by some of the other information where basically when there is a defensiveness, when the focus is on trying to defend current practices rather than emphasize that continuous improvement is always possible and is necessary, that's where I have concern. Where the emphasis is defensiveness, I think that whether it be organic defending its turf or mainstream agriculture defending its turf, I think we poorly serve the consumer when the emphasis is on defending current practices rather than talking about how can we do a better job with our food system.
And I couldn't agree more on that. You know, we are, unfortunately, right now in the agriculture industry, we're divided. And there's a lot of different opinions and a lot of different viewpoints on what is the proper way to produce our food and how should the food be produced. And I think, you know, a lot of that comes from how information is presented to the general public. And because there's certain ways that media is presenting this information, it's leading people to believe one way or the other and take a side. And within agriculture, until, you know, we figure out how to become more united to keep advocating for agriculture in general, regardless of what type of production system it is, you know, if we're not delivering a unified message about being pro-agriculture, like I said, regardless of the production system, it's very difficult to convince the general public about the true benefits and, you know, how agriculture is really benefiting everyone. And so that makes it very difficult in the agriculture industry. And a prime example was if you saw the Dodge commercial in the Super Bowl. You know, there's some people that thought that was the awesomest thing ever, and there was just, you know, they couldn't speak of it highly enough. And then there were other people who looked at it negatively because Paul Harvey was an animal activist, you know, helped to support PETA or Humane Society, one of the two. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, and so there was a negative outlook on that commercial because they used Paul Harvey. That split, you know, that's a different example from what Dr. Groover was talking about. But it just shows a prime example of how split our agriculture industry can be at times on certain issues and about certain things.
Now, do you think that sometimes sort of playing off what you both just said, that there is sort of stereotypes on either side, that for a stereotype for an industrial modern farmer that they are not concerned about really the environment, they're only concerned about profits, and then on the sustainable side that they are unrealistic and naive and not concerned about the overall food system, just about, you know, the environmental impact and not hurting, you know, certain species or things like that. Do you think that some of these groups that have been trying to educate the public have exacerbated or helped play up those stereotypes?
Oh, definitely. I think that's the easiest way to tell a story, is to basically just play on what people already know. It's harder to lay out a more complicated story, but the complicated story is normally the true story. Well, one of the key pieces of this is that we don't, as a representative of the ag industry, our goal isn't just to speak to the non-ag public, but we really need to speak to the ag industry and set set the bar high, set high goals for land stewardship, high goals for, animal welfare, and, targets of minimizing, whether it be antibiotics or any type of thing that we see perhaps as having a current role that might be perceived as necessary. But if there are legitimate concerns about antibiotic resistance, for example, our goal shouldn't be just to defend the current system. We can understand why we are where we are at, but we need to have standards of expectation that the industry can work towards less use of antibiotics, more selective use, more deliberate prevention of resistance, whether it be antibiotic resistance or herbicide-resistant weeds. We should just simply be setting a goal of more stewardship than we are at today, rather than simply trying to defend where we're at today.
The best advocate is somebody who listens more than they speak. And so by being able and not going on the defense right away, as soon as somebody questions what you're doing, that is one of the biggest problems that I foresee that happens. You know, and I can see it in our students. I can see it in some producers, and some farmers and things. And automatically going on that defense to defend their current practice rather than wanting to listen to what others have been successful with or what others are doing and maybe glean some ideas from there to help to improve their system.
What are the steps that yourselves as ag educators think we can take to help people see all sides of this issue and ultimately make good food policy in the future?
Well, I think part of that is, including others in, when you have specific meetings or you have speakers, when you're talking about the ag industry itself and others within the ag industry, trying to create that open-minded mentality. And, Dr. Groover said about it, respecting other people's production methods and how they choose to go about it, making sure we're including and being inviting to others to learn about the way they, that you produce your food and the way that you are doing things versus going on that defense again.
I emphasize both with my students and with the larger public, the critical importance of civic engagement. I think that it's fantastic that these ag advocates are taking time out of their lives to be engaged. That's part of civic engagement, but I hope that they're also members of the school board, members of the local philanthropic groups, because I think when you are civically engaged, you have empathy. You recognize that, there are lots of complications and concerns that are perhaps more serious than your own problems. And you have an approach to life that I think will lead you to practicing agriculture more sustainably, as well as, helping other aspects of society.
That is Western Illinois University agriculture professor Joel Groover. We also heard from Professor Bart Gill. For Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Scott Stuntz.